Properties Distributors LLC, Tanger Properties LP, seek a special use exception to place a tent for special events, section 11580 and 115210 of the Sussex County Zoning Code. The property is located on the northeast side of Coastal Highway Route 1, approximately 0.24 miles northwest of Holland Glade Road. The 911 address is 36470 Seaside Outlet Drive, Rehoboth Beach. The zoning district is C1. The tax parcel is District 334, Map 13, Parcel 325.16. The applicant is requesting the special use exception for a five-year period during the 4th of July season. There are zero letters of support, zero letters of opposition, and two mail return.
Good evening. Mr. Sharp will swear you in.
Can you state your name and address for the record?
My name is Fred Young. My address is 569 Lynn Drive, Greencastle, Pennsylvania, zip code 17225.
And do you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
Thank you. So I'm here this evening to ask for a special exception variance to operate a Keystone Novelties tent at that location. I believe your ordinance has a limit to have a temporary structure like that in place for, I believe 3 days is what the ordinance is. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. And what we're asking for, and I believe you all have a copy of this in your packet, to have the tent in place and operating from June the 22nd, and final sales will be completed on July 4th. Of course, that's by your Delaware state law. You cannot sell novelties beyond the 4th of July. The tent would likely be erected within a day or two before the 22nd. Our company rents the tents. So the tent company comes in, they erect the tent. Of course, we go through the inspection process by any applicable zoning laws or any applicable code enforcement you may have. Tent's inspected to make sure it's structurally sound. And then typically after the 4th of July, it's vacated by that evening, and it's taken down as soon as the tent company can take it down. So typically it's within the date or two afterwards, after the close of sales. We can't say exactly what day that would be now. It's kind of really up to the rental company, but I think it's safe to say probably by the 6th or 7th it would be taken down. Let's see. Under the application that was filled out by Elizabeth Saragosa Iyer at our office, the criteria for a variance is a little different. Uniqueness of the property, et cetera. I mean, this isn't a commercial space.
Well, just to let you know, this isn't a variance application. This is a special use exception.
Okay.
So the standard is different.
Okay.
The standard that you have to demonstrate is that the use will not substantially affect adversely the uses of neighboring adjacent properties. So you don't have to worry about the standards that we had for the case just prior to you. It is a different standard.
Okay. Thank you for clarifying.
Sure.
Because in the application, when it was filled out, the application we had, it was a little bit difficult to fill out because of this special exception. So under that, the criteria for the special use exception, obviously, it isn't a commercial zone. The other businesses will be operating during that complete period of time. They're operating year round. So we're just temporarily having this for a period of operation for 13 days. And so it definitely fits within the zone. It fits within the applicant. The landlord has already approved this. The owner of the property there, which is, Tanger Management LLC. They have also agreed to, if sales work out for Keystone Novelties, to definitely allow that to be in that location for the next several years, if approved with the special exception, to be able to operate for more than the 3 days. And I think that's about all I have. And I answer any questions you may have.
So, first of all, Mr. Sharp, Dr. Carson has walked in. Is he allowed to?
I think Dr. Carson walked in right as the applicant was beginning his testimony, and if Dr. Carson has been listening and plans to listen, he can participate. So,
thank you. My apologies.
If there's anything you'd like to repeat, I'd be happy to do so.
Good. Thanks.
I think you walked in almost as he was about second sentence in, so.
The way I kind of see this setup is it's, if I'm understanding this, I believe it's the Applebee's that'll be in that corner where the Applebee's is at the, in the seaside of the Tanger outlets, correct? So it'll be in that front right corner from the.
Yeah, I believe so. I'm trying to get my bearings here on your picture. It, we did submit, and I don't know, I see it in the application itself that actually shows a pretty clear outline. And forgive me, because I'm not that familiar with the area. I know it's within the Vans outlet when I looked at this earlier. Let me look.
I'm pretty sure that is. I just wanted to get clarification. But how many proposed between the actual tenant self and employees, how many spaces will you be taking up?
I can tell you exactly. Let me look at my diagram here. I think this is a 20-foot by 40-foot tent. And there's a really good picture here. And I'd be happy to bring this up. Maybe my picture is different. Let me see here. Tent area. Yeah, mine's a little different. And it's in the application. So it looks like it takes up about 1, 2, 3. Does yours have? Okay. So I guess if we're looking at this, the orientation of mine's a little different. If we're looking at this, it would be to the, if I can approach, I'll just show you. I believe it's supposed to be, according to mine, okay, right in this area here, mm-hmm. Okay, and it takes up, I can count the spaces, maybe about 8 or 9, let me see here. Because on my document here, in my, they have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 spaces all the way to the end there. So if you're looking at that diagram, where generally where I showed you, about where that, there's a black car there, I guess it would be the, yep, right, just if you go, yep, you're, if you move right down there, the right about to there. Maybe a little bit more. It looks like there might be one more vehicle. We take it right to the end because we don't want anybody parking there. And it also gives the best visibility from the road. So it's close as it can get to the road while still being in the space. And then on the other side of that setup area, which goes to the space beyond that white car, if you move your arrow up just a little bit, yeah, right about there, then we also cordon that off for about 20-foot setback. So nobody can park right next to the tent. That way you have safe egress and ingress into and out of the tent, and really direct the people to the, you know, most people will be parking, I guess would be the next row over that way with the spaces front and back is where most of the people will be parking. The customers will be directed to park. Hopefully that helps answer your question. I'm not sure why on that diagram they didn't give the tent setup area. I guess for some reason I got it on mine.
Question? Sir, have you thought about visibility? We've got an entrance drive, correct?
So I think there's an entrance drive that goes down to the building there.
In between?
Correct.
And I saw where you want to put the tent. And then on one of the documents you submitted, there was a lockout for a what appeared to be a pod storage box. Is that you also?
That is. And so the tent would be roughly right in this area. The pod storage is over here.
Okay.
This is obviously, you know, accessible. So
I understand. My question would be on the pod storage, does it create a visibility problem for entrance into or egress from the...
Oh, for like a site distance coming in and out?
Yes.
I don't believe so, because that they determined that before when the application was made, and certainly to the property owner here, they're very concerned about that as well. So, I think they putting it there was determined it would be fine. Although that it could be moved. I mean, if it's a concern for you, and as long as I'm sure the landlord would be fine moving it, I'm sure it could be, you know, moved maybe up this way or something like that, if that is a concern.
I just think it's a technical question on the visibility. And then the third question that I had was with a tent, and Mr. Williams, I believe you said that was Applebee's in the middle?
I believe it is.
This is Applebee's here?
Right.
Yeah. Does it carry any requirements, maybe this is for Mr. Sharp, for handicap parking? I know we've got a parking exclusion, you said, for egress into the tent, for two spaces on the inside, but...
Well, we put about 20 feet, so that would be really about three spaces.
Okay.
That we don't allow parking. If your ordinance requires, because I'm familiar with, we have about between 450 and 500 locations up and down the East Coast. So different municipalities and that do have different requirements where they require like a handicap spot. We frequently will bring in a temporary handicap, you know, basically a pole with a sign on it that we put there in the, you know, in a parking space.
I guess that's where my question would be. We're talking about a temporary retail if it's approved for sale. And so would there have to be a temporary handicap spot or spots associated with that? Good question.
That is a good question.
That's all I have.
Any other questions?
Looking that up.
Security.
Security, what we do is our tents, they can't be locked. Okay, so then of course there's inventory there. So we always have at least two deep there at all times. So the clerks, when they agree to come to work for Keystone, we encourage that they always have two there. Somebody has to be there at all times, 24/7. So typically what we'll have, you know, between the two that are there, somebody's usually running the register, the other one's helping customers, et cetera, and providing some of that security. Historically, we don't have a whole lot of issues with theft or security issues, especially in locations like this that are commercial spaces. They're novelties, they're more ground-based sparkler kind of stuff. You know, what's been determined in the past, because some of the different states that Keystone operates in does allow for more aerial fireworks, that's a little more, I guess, attractive to thieves in that regard of security. We do not allow any of the products to be set off anywhere near the tents. That's extremely prohibited. It's definitely in this state. Matter of fact, I believe in the state of Delaware, I think even though they can buy them, I don't think they can even set them off in the state until the 4th. Isn't that correct? So security-wise, you know, we always have somebody there. It's requirement of our policy. 24/7. That's correct. So even after the operating hours, the tents typically close at 9 o'clock, I believe, except for the 4th. I think they can be up until 10. You know, the sides are dropped, the lights are turned off, and, you know, somebody stays there overnight in the tent and is awake. And, you know, a lot of times they'll, you know, surf the internet or look at Netflix or read a book or something like that. But somebody has to be there because you can't lock it.
Wow.
Yeah.
So these are mainly ground-based fireworks?
They're all ground-based, yeah. By law, they're required to be mostly ground-based fountains. You know,
so I still got to go to Pennsylvania to get the real stuff.
That's exactly right. Yep, unfortunately, that's the case.
I heard you mention before that you had a signed agreement with Tanger.
We do.
Okay. On this agreement I have here that you have on our file, I don't see it signed by the representative from Tanger. Do we have that? Do you have that?
I think I'm looking at the same things you are, but that one map. Let me look here.
This page, fellas, it's page.
What page did you see that on? And if it's not signed, then I'm not gonna. It looks like it has been signed by Jessica Dalton. It's on page. Again, my packet that I have that was
going to be different,
but I'd be happy to show this to you.
Page 6.
Yeah, page 6. There's
it's a DocuSign.
Zero signature on here.
Okay.
Do you
want me to show you what
agreement.
I have?
I don't know.
I don't know if I can put it up there if I can show it to you on an electronic device.
Can you email us?
Yeah, I probably can.
We don't have a way to have that.
Can I have them printed and bring it back to the office?
Well, you could do that at the board.
I have it signed dated April 19th. may, I don't know if the information you got is before that, that may be one of the things.
I see something on here from a Stephanie Weber. Is that the correct one, or?
Let's see.
Electronic record and signature disclosure.
I'm seeing several signatures on mine. So I have an invoice from Tanger Outlets dated April 19th. And then underneath the invoice, we have certificate of completion. These are all DocuSign documents. Of course, signed by Keystone Firebrands, our director, John May, signed it. And then we have a Jessica Dalton, who's the VP of Specialty Leasing at Tanger Management LLC. She signed it, it looks like, April 19th. And then a Stephanie Webster, looks like she did something on the 20th. She's the operations for Tanger Outlets. I don't know if I can just let you view what I have.
Yeah, we don't have that ability. If you're going to let us view it, we need to have a way to have it in the record.
I can, I might be able to screenshot this and email to you.
Well, I guess it just comes down to whether it's important to the board. Who's Rick Seary?
Rick Seary is actually my boss. He is one of the directors here that, what's his title? Just call him Rick. Rick's, I guess he's more field operations and helps to establish the relationships with the different entities that we rent the space from. Because we obviously are renting the space for this tent for that period of time. So Rick, I can give you his exact.
I just saw his name on the application that mm-hmm. said signature of agent. So I wanted to see if he was with you.
He is.
With the
field operations manager is his title.
Sir, I just want to confirm we do have your testimony under oath that the lease has been signed.
What I'm seeing here, that's the documents that are being given to me that are dated from the April that I have. This is the packet that was shared with me before I came today. And I have it signed by those people with Tanger Outlet. So yes, what I'm seeing here is I'm seeing signatures on this document, and I wish there's a way I could.
That's good enough for me. Thank you.
Show it to you.
Would this be for?
I have another one too. I can't read the. So I have three signatures from Tanger Management LLC.
Would this be for this year, if it got approved tonight?
I think this is just for this year because there's a right to terminate the agreement. I mean, the agreement with them, I guess it can be modified from year to year. I would like to assume that Tanger would be happy with the arrangement. I mean, we're renting the space from them for the tent.
You can't set up till you have the written decision.
Correct. We can't really go forward. I mean, there's an agreement that's been signed, but I guess it's not fully executed. Obviously, there's provision in there that if you don't approve a special exception, then obviously we wouldn't want to rent the space, and I don't think we're beholden to do so by them. So this is kind of conditional for the agreement to be fully executed, but it has been signed.
It says, on your application, it also says a five-year period requested.
Well, I think we're requesting your board, to give a five-year exception to allow that, and then that will enable us to establish a relationship with Tanger Outlets. And that, if for some reason sales are, it's not worthwhile, if the company expends more money in tent rental, clerk, permitting, getting the clerks there, inventory, all the other things that are required, tent rental, et cetera, and they don't make any money, sales are, then they probably wouldn't come back. So it's a business case at this point.
May I add one thing to that question? I think if you do, in fact, want to do it this year and it's prior to getting through the whole process, there's a special event process that would allow the director to approve a one-time extended event. No more than three times a year they're able to do that. This request is enabling him to be able to do that for a period of 5 years. So I think If you run into that, it would be an option.
If you didn't feel comfortable, I mean, obviously this is the first year that Keystone's asking for a variance and asking to do business in this county. They have done business in up north, Wilmington, Newark, and I believe Newcastle. This will be, I think, the third year operating in those areas. This is the first time coming here. If you didn't feel comfortable giving a five-year special exception, that's understandable. You know, we want to be a good neighbor and maybe feel more comfortable just doing this one time, and I can certainly come back and visit you next year and ask for 4 years after that. That's fine, and that's completely acceptable.
I think what Ms. Norwood was saying was they could do a special event permit to help you in this case if it did get approved, or even if it didn't get approved, I guess you could still ask for that. Because Mr. Sharp may not be able to get the written decision out in time for you to get set up.
I'm glad you bring that up. I read over, you know, it can take 30 to 60 days to get that. So obviously, if my next question was going to be, if you did deem it, you know, did grant the special exception, to ask what would be the next steps so that we can hopefully open by the 22nd.
Mr. Sharp can answer that for you.
My suggestion there would be to contact the office and discuss that with them.
Okay.
Ms. Norwood and Mr. Whitehouse, I'm sure, could guide you in the right direction if this board were to approve it.
And if you were kind enough to do so, the next contingency is how quickly could we get that so that we can fully execute the agreement we have with Tanger, the rental company for the tents, et cetera.
I think those are questions that don't need to be asked to this board.
Understand.
I think the issue that this board has is simply a very narrow focus of one, which is, does this use substantially affect adversely the neighboring adjacent properties?
Understand.
And then to that, perhaps some clarity on the specifics. And I think you've given some of that, but as far as the dates, the tear down, and those things. So.
Understand.
And to that, I don't know.
I have the answer to the parking question.
Oh, thank you, Ms. Norman.
They were permitted, or they're required to have, for the zoning code, one space for a 200 square foot retail area, which he's under that. So they'd be required to have one. The zoning code doesn't really specify the ADA requirement. However, the building code department, it talks about it there. They would be asked to have one for, if you have required to have one space, you would be required to have one space for ADA as well.
To that point, Ms. Norwood, I guess question that I have, because this is in an existing parking lot for an existing shopping center, and we are taking away approximately 9 spaces, I think thereabouts, roughly.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, he will need a space for his business, but does that affect the parking capability for the overall center, and do we know that?
I don't know if we know that accurately, but we would have to pull the site plan for the outlets and
okay. See
if they're already in exceeding their
limits. If they're overparked or underparked,
right,
or right on the number.
Which I believe that area has the overflow parking in the back as well, so.
Thank you.
Again, if we are very familiar, like I said, it's not out of the realm of possibility or even wrong to ask us to put up a temporary handicap parking. We do that frequently. And we actually ship those out with on the truck and we put it right there and designate a spot just for that.
You think this substantially affects the neighboring and adversely affects the neighboring properties, meaning the shops that are just to your, I guess it would be the north?
I do not, or the ones to the south. What we've found in past relationships when we operate these, and Keystone's been doing it for about 25 years now, in 10 states, is it actually benefits a lot of the other businesses, because, you know, when people see that, they'll stop, you know, pick up a few things, and then they generally start to patronize some of the other businesses. So it tends to work as a benefit more than anything.
Any
Any further questions? Mr. Sharp?
Just clarity on a couple technical points. So what you're asking for is for a tent to be up for a period of, and I guess every year for 5 years, from June 22nd to through July 4th, and then the tent would be installed 3 days before that period, or, you know, the take up would be 3 days, mm-hmm. and then you'd have 3 days after to remove it, but it would be, the sales would only be in operation that period of time.
Yeah, sales would only be from the 22nd till the end of business on the 4th.
And the tent size, I believe you said, was 20 feet by 40 feet?
Correct.
And there would be a pod that would also be on site, I presume, for storage of inventory or what have you, correct?
Storage for a little bit of inventory. A lot of times, you know, when everything is delivered, we want to keep it as neat as possible. If we have rain, for example, you know, that's one of the reasons for the tent, but we can't have anything on the ground or else it just absorbs up through. So we try to keep everything very, very clean. And then the cardboard boxes that the products are shipped in, and then they're actually drop shipped right to that location. They can break those down, put them in the pod, and then if there's anything left over, they can bring it back out, reassemble them, and ship things out on the evening of the 4th.
All right, I have no further questions. Thank you.
Thank you.
Will you be in time with the outlet hours, or are you going to have different hours?
I'm not sure what the outlet hours are. I think we are, because some of the different locations we have in different states and different municipalities will open and close earlier or later, depending on the culture, more than, for lack of a better term. This, I noticed, is more from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. So I think that's pretty much in line with what they would probably do.
10 o'clock, probably the same thing with the outlets.
Yeah.
So you're probably right there with them, I would say.
Yeah, it looks like, that's about right.
So 9 to 9.
I think I have something on here that says the exact hours on the exact days. I believe on the 4th it goes till 10, I think.
Correct. You did say that.
Yeah.
It says here on the letter that you've submitted from your field operations manager, hours of operation will be 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. daily, 9 a.m. to 10:30 p.m. on the 3rd and 4th.
3rd and 4th. I just found that, yes. Thank you. I'm going through 23 pages. I couldn't remember what it was. Yes. So to be clear, exactly what your counsel said is correct.
Other questions? Is there anyone present who's in favor of this application? Is there anyone present who is in opposition to this application? Operator?
If there is anyone on the line in favor of or in opposition to this application, please dial 5-star. Again, if anyone on the line is in favor of or in opposition to this application, please dial 5-star.
Thank you. Quick question. If we could we approve this? And I understand he has said under oath that he has the agreement from Tanger. Can we put a condition? Could we make it a condition that we have that in?
You could make it a condition that this is contingent upon a signed lease with the landlord and that being submitted to the office.
Just a question. If there are no further questions, I'll close the public hearing and entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we approve case number 12570 for Keystone Novelties. For the requested special use exemption pending a final written decision based upon the record made during the public hearing, because I do not feel the proposed use will substantially affect adversely the uses of neighboring and adjacent properties. As part of this motion, I move that this approval will be valid for in 3 years. And one of the contingencies, I like that we definitely need to have a signed lease submitted to the office from the landlord from Tanger Outlets. And they have to have a signed lease.
Second.
And I guess just as a point, because I know that typically when we've had these tent sales, and I know there's been a second, that we will often put the dates when they're there.
Yes.
As well as the size of the tent and the approximate location thereof.
Well, he had that in his application, and so I was expecting him to live up to what his application said.
I know it's sometimes helpful from staffing perspective to
right.
know the location and dates and those things. And I believe his he said it was a 20x40 tent.
He did.
He had shown the approximate location in his documents as to where it would be located, and that it would be in operation from June 22nd to July 4th of each year, provided that there be allowable for up to 3 days prior to
Correct.
That and 3 days at the end of that for setup and takedown.
Yes.
You want to
like
make that?
Like to amend my motion, add that in there.
Okay.
Inclusive of the pod structure also.
Inclusive of that structure, yeah.
I would amend my second.
Motion to second. Mr. Werfel?
Aye for the reason stated.
Mr. Hastings?
Aye for the reason stated.
Dr. Carson?
Aye for the reason stated.
Mr. Corman?
Aye for my reasons.
And I too for those reasons. So with a vote of 5-0, case number 12570 has been approved.
Thank you very much.
With conditions.
With conditions.
Old business.